Hello, and welcome back to the Clifford Chance Pensions Podcast, our podcast which goes hand in hand with our regular UK Pensions Update newsletter. It delivers to you a snapshot of the headline points covered in the latest edition. Your speakers today will be me, Rebecca Trapp,
me, Louise Oliver,
and me, Francesca Warren,
all members of the Clifford Chance Pensions team.
Thank you, Rebecca, for that introduction. Now, this is our fifth podcast in the series. What does today's episode have in store for our listeners?
Well, it's actually been fairly quiet in terms of pensions development since our previous newsletter, but I suspect that's all about to change. As we all know, last month the Prime Minister announced a general election would be held next month on the 4th of July. This snap election meant that Parliament was dissolved on the 30th of May, leaving some changes that we were expecting to come into place unratified and causing much speculation as to what the election result could mean for the pensions industry. Today, we're planning to focus on the upcoming election from a pensions perspective. And I think it probably makes sense to start with talking about those pensions proposals that we think might face delays or even re-evaluation as a result of the election. Rebecca, would you like to start with this?
Absolutely. I think for me, the big one is the revised defined benefit funding regime, and in particular, the regulator's code of practice. So, as many of our listeners will know, the funding and investment strategy regulations came into force on the 6th of April 2024, together with the relevant parts of the Pension Schemes Act 2021, which bring the requirements of the revised DB funding regime into force. This means that the revised regime will apply to valuations with effective dates on and after the 22nd of September 2024. Now, we're not expecting the result of the election to change this, but it's significant here that the pensions regulator's draft DB funding code, which schemes were hoping would fill in some of the blanks around how the new regime operates, has not yet been finalised.
Yeah, that's right. It's understood that the pensions regulator was intending to lay the new code in Parliament this month in order to give it the necessary 40-day period for the code to come into effect, ready for the September implementation. But, as we know, Parliament has now been dissolved, so this won't look like it's happening. We expect the code will be picked back up by the new government following the summer recess, but it does mean that schemes with valuation dates shortly after the 22nd of September may be working, at least in the short term, without a finalised code. If this affects a scheme that you're associated with, please do not hesitate to reach out to your Clifford Chance contact for more information or advice on next steps.
And in a similar vein, dissolving Parliament ahead of the election has caused some uncertainty around progression of the expansion of auto-enrolment. Could you tell us a bit more about that, Louise?
Of course. As you'll be aware, the extension of Automatic Enrolment Act gained royal assent back in September now, and this gives the Secretary of State powers to make regulations to do two things. Firstly, to reduce the age limit of 22 for being auto-enrolled and re-enrolled, and secondly, to reduce or remove the lower end of the qualifying earnings band, which currently sits around £6,000 per year, for calculating minimum contributions. The regulations that are needed to enact these powers haven't been brought in yet, though, so at this moment in time, the regime remains unchanged. I would predict, though, that there will be pressure from the industry for the expansion of auto-enrolment to be implemented, so I suspect it's something that will be taken forward, but it's difficult to predict when and where it might fall in the priority list for a new government.
So those changes appear to be a bit up in the air at the moment. Are there any other proposals that are in a similar position?
Yeah, well, from a DC perspective, we're yet to see if the value for money framework and the Pot for Life regime will be taken forward with a new government. The current government was intending to bring forward requirements for defined contribution schemes to publicly disclose the breakdown of their asset allocations as part of the value for money framework. In coordination with the FCA, the government was intending to legislate to apply the VFM framework across the market and provide the pensions regulator with new powers to ensure key disclosures are in place by 2027. The current government has also committed to exploring a lifetime provider model for DC schemes and expanding collective DC schemes. It remains to be seen whether these proposals will be taken forward, and if so, when.
That's right. And from a DB perspective, the industry has been waiting for some time now for the regulations which would give us the detail on the declaration of intent regime, as well as making changes to the list of events which will be notifiable to the pensions regulator. The DWP consultation on the draft regulations closed in October 2021, but a response to that consultation hasn't been published yet. and we were previously expecting that in 2022. It's possible this is something that might be further delayed in light of the election. In addition, listeners will be aware of the developments arising from last year's Mansion House speech and the Autumn Statement, which preceded a swathe of consultations and proposals covering potential changes to surplus rules, the establishment of a consolidator run by the Pension Protection Fund, and the promise of a permanent regulated regime for DB super funds as soon as parliamentary time allowed. While the main political parties have not commented formally on any of these items yet in the run-up to the election, it's possible that some of these developments could be put on hold or even shelved completely. The Labour Party has made it clear that it intends to carry on the current government's reforms aimed at boosting UK growth, but so far hasn't commented in more detail.
Although we should probably just say it's none of these policies have been officially dropped yet. It's just potentially they could be. Francesca, I think on that note, you've been looking at whether or not there's anything that has been formally ditched as part of the parliamentary wash-up period that would have affected pensions.
Yeah, Rebecca, I have. The Data Protection and Digital Information Bill and the Economic Activities of Public Bodies Bill have. The Economic Activity of the Public Bodies Bill would have affected local government's pension scheme funds, and the Data Protection Bill was set to make various amendments to the UK GDPR and Data Protection Act, which data controllers and processors, and that included pension scheme trustees and employers, would have the need to get a grips with. Both of these bills have been axed for now.
That's right. And let's move on, shall we, and discuss what we think we can expect on pensions. Rebecca, what have we heard from the major parties so far?
Right, so from the Conservatives, they published their manifesto earlier this week. And in that, they've pledged to launch a new Triple Lock Plus to guarantee that both the state pension and the tax-free personal allowance for pensioners will always rise with the highest of inflation, earnings, or 2.5%. In their manifesto, the Conservatives also pledge to introduce a new pensions tax guarantee, under which they commit to not introduce any new taxes on pensions and commit to maintain the 25% tax-free lump sum and maintain tax relief on pension contributions at their marginal rate. Labour, on the other hand, have also pledged to retain the triple lock, and Labour also previously indicated that they would reverse the abolition of the lifetime allowance, which I know much of the industry was concerned about. And it's worth noting that Labour has recently reported that they are no longer intending to progress that, and it won't be included in their manifesto.
And I understand that Labour's manifesto is due to be published imminently, so we'll have to keep a watching brief for any more details on pensions in that.
Indeed, we're actually expecting Labour's manifesto on Thursday this week, I believe. But moving on from the election discussions, has there been anything else, Louise, that's exciting going on in the pension space that we should cover today?
Yes, I think it's worth mentioning at the beginning of last month, the pensions regulator published its corporate plan, setting out the regulator's key priorities for the three-year period covering 2024 to 2027. It's always quite interesting as it gives us an insight into the regulator's focus and what to watch out for in the short term. In this plan, the regulator describes the industry as being in a period of change, with the pensions market shifting towards fewer, larger schemes, something which is welcomed by the regulator. But change, as always, brings both risks and opportunities. And in light of this, the regulator says it will be focused on developing its value for money framework and implementing the new DB funding regime in particular. It's clear from the plan that the regulator really wants to work on enhancing workplace pensions through high standards in administration and governance, as well as the promotion of innovation across the sector. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in practice in light of any changes flowing from the election.
Yes, it will be. Thanks, Louise. I think that's probably all we have time for today, but we do have a number of other interesting topics covered in our newsletter, including increased scrutiny on trustee duties in the context of ESG and further details on the abolition of the lifetime allowance.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a read. And as always, if listeners have any questions on any topics that we've covered in today's podcast or from our newsletter, please do not hesitate to reach out to your Clifford Chance Pensions contact.
Thanks so much, both of you. We have come to the end of our podcast here today, so we're just left to say thank you very much to those listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again.
You've been listening to the Clifford Chance Pensions podcast. Please follow us on LinkedIn.